Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Reawakening Podcast. I'm Brian Ingraham, and my heart is to see our whole generation reawakened to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. I believe this is possible for you, and I'm excited about these stories that we keep hearing throughout this season of the podcast. I hope you're getting great ideas about how you can take bigger steps and great steps with God and your spiritual life. I want boost moments for you all, and I'm enjoying them. I'm getting a lot out of them, and I hope you are too. Today, we have the opportunity to hear from Amanda Long, and Amanda has been on the team here in Scotland for a few years and really enjoyed getting to know her. Fun fact behind Amanda, so I grew up going to Lakeside Bible Camp. Amanda, I found out, has been to Lakeside Bible Camp in the Seattle area. It's such a small Bible camp, and it's just like, wow, what were the chances? But it's just fun how life stories interact and overlapped in such ways. And then years later, all of a sudden, wow, we're working together in Scotland, and how fun is that? Amanda, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of this. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and what's your story here?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to get to be here and share a little bit about myself. So you probably heard Stuart's podcast, or hopefully you heard Stuart's podcast a few podcasts ago. But him and I, Stuart and I, are from Seattle, Washington. I was born and raised Seattle, Washington. Just am a true Pacific Northwest girl at heart. 2020, Stuart and I came and traveled to Scotland to join in with the ReHope on the team. Both Stuart and I work with the young adults and students here at the West End, which we love, and we also lead the Remain internship, which goes throughout the school year, and just lots of fun to be a part of that. I'm also a mom to two amazing, fun boys, so they keep me busy. We moved in 2020, so lived in Seattle, went to university in Indiana, and then now we are here in Glasgow.
That's so fun. I'm so glad you're coming over here. I mean, what a year 2020 was. And I remember just the chaos of the travel disruptions. Like, it was hard to move across the sea. I mean, your visa challenges, and yet God was just in that whole process. I think that we all look back at those days as rather challenging, but wow, God's hand just moving you guys across the world to be a part of working with young adults at one of the most strategic seasons, where, I mean, so many young adults are coming out of COVID in just such different experiences. And we see that now. It just seems like what a great God we have to bring you guys and to prepare you to be here, to working with this generation at this moment. Amazing. Amazing. But that's probably not what we're here to talk about. I want to talk about your journey with God and your story and specific moments in your life where you felt were so significant for you. Do you have a story where you'd love to tell us, like, of a particular God moment in your life that had a big impact?
Yeah, so I kind of have to start from my first real Jesus encounter, my first real what I would say was my coming to Jesus moment. And that was when I was 14. And I grew up in a Christian household. And so I'd grown up hearing about God and I believed in him and knew things about him. But it wasn't really till I was 14 that, like, I got it and I understood really the gospel. I really understood the gospel narrative and had this, like, really powerful Jesus encounter, actually. And like you said, we grew up going to the same Bible camp. So I had been going to Lakeside Bible Camp for a few years at that point. I was there one summer when I was 14. And I remember sitting in a session, and there was a lady there who was speaking and sharing, and she'd been sharing over the week. And she was really just kind of sharing the narrative of the gospel. And I remember sitting and listening, and it was like I had heard it so many times before, but when she was sharing the gospel, it was like, wow, I actually am realizing this really happened. And I actually am realizing my own need for Jesus. And at this time, I was actually at a really, in a really dark place. I was in kind of a hard place as a young teen. I had been struggling with depression. I had been struggling with anxiety, with insecurity, like those types of things that so many teens, you know, are struggling with on the inside and you don't even know it. So I was at a really dark place. And I think the Lord just met me in that place that summer. And when I was hearing the speaker sharing, I was immediately, it was like my heart, you know, in this place of need and almost this place of, oh, I don't see a lot of hope for my future. I was actually struggling a lot in school and I'm hearing her sharing. And so it's like my heart responded to this story and realizing, wow, if this is real, like I want to give my life to this. I need this. And I can't picture my future without Jesus. And so it was, you know, you wouldn't have known what was happening on the outside. I was just like a shy 14-year-old girl. But in my heart, she made this invitation, the speaker did. And I was like, yes, I am going to commit my life to Jesus. I'm going to fully surrender to him. I'm going to be all in for him. And it was amazing. It was like from that day, I started just encountering the realness of relationship with God for the first time. And it was almost like hope was something that became so real to me. It was something that I don't think I had really experienced before until that point. But when I gave my life to Jesus and fully surrendered to him, it was suddenly like, wow, hope is real. And I feel like this sense of hope for my future. I started experiencing hope even in like school and the things I had been struggling with, like depression completely went away at that time. And what kind of happened was almost this beginning of like cultivating friendship with God. And I was in a place where I went to a really small church and there wasn't a whole lot of like discipleship happening. And so it was kind of just me on my own with the Lord. But in that, I found this like amazing friendship with God. And so that was really the beginning of my heart reawakening and awakening to relationship with God for the first time.
Just because you said it so quickly, I just wanted to just ask you, you said depression just left. Mm-hmm. Like you had struggled with depression and then you gave like that. Is there anything else behind that story? You're like, well, that's it really is. It's that simple. I had given my life to Jesus and got in God's mercy. He just mm-hmm. lifted off that piece. It's not like he lifted off everything mm-hmm. going on in your life, but like, is that what happened?
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, it was very real that depression was really lifted. And I think it really was the grace and the mercy of God to really breathe his life into me and breathe that hope into me. And it wasn't like there were still struggles in school. I still felt very insecure in so many ways, was still anxious in so many ways and fearful. But the hope, I think, because when I gave my life to Jesus, it was such a like need for him. It was very, the hope of the gospel is very real to me. And it was like, wow, I really do believe he's all that I need. In that very, like I did not have the knowledge of the Bible. I did not. And I remember starting to spend time with the Lord daily. That was just something that I wanted to do because I didn't really have someone discipling me. But I had a Bible and I had grown up going to church. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start, you know, just discovering what this is all about. And I remember reading and remember not understanding most of what the Bible was saying. I would go to the Psalms a lot because I was like, yes, I really love these, or I really loved Ecclesiastes at that time and just strange books. But I think for me, the hope of what the gospel kind of presented became so real. And because of that, the depression really came from that place of hopelessness. But I'm just really grateful for the grace and the mercy of God. And I'm very thankful for teens pastors. I'm thankful for the people who minister to teens and disciple teens, because you don't know what's happening on the inside. But like when the gospel shared, or when you're pouring into them the truth of God's word, there's stuff that's happening in their hearts. And that was true for me.
Oh, I love that. I just think Jesus is amazing how, again, not everything gets fixed when you turn life to Jesus or whatever. Sometimes when we're recommitting our lives to Jesus, but sometimes he just gives us heart gifts as we believe in him, whether or return to believing with him. And man, just that gift, depression, what a significant life-changing gift. Wow, what an amazing Jesus. What a great God. So that was your first significant time where you felt like, oh, this was a major Jesus life change moment. One, do you have any other times in your life where you felt like a big boost of something in your life or a significant shift?
Yes. So I think for me, I want to share kind of a really powerful moment some years later that happened. But when I was cultivating this like relationship with the Lord and learning to read the Bible and praying, one thing that God really did in me was create this like dependency upon him. And I think anyone that struggled with like depression or anxiety or mental illness has felt that like sense of real weakness. And for me, that weakness was shifted and turned into this dependency upon the Lord. And so I love spending time with God. I learned his voice. I learned to trust him. I just learned his character. And that was so important for me. I was learning the character of God. And so I had this kind of foundation of hearing God's voice. I had this foundation of responding to dependency upon him. And so years later, in 2017, Stuart and I, so we met in high school, and then if you've listened to his podcast, you'll probably hear his big moments, but we got married after university. We had been in Indiana for university, and Stuart had his really powerful kind of come to Jesus moment after we got married, actually. And during that time, we suddenly felt like God was calling us into ministry. And this is something I had kind of been praying about, but knew Stuart wasn't interested in. And yet, you know, God can just change things so quickly. And so Stuart, after he had his kind of come to Jesus moment, felt, yes, I actually do feel called into ministry, but I don't really feel called to necessarily go to school at the moment. It was something we were praying about, but through that process of praying and discerning, we felt God leading us back to Washington and back to his father's church, actually, that his father was leading at that time. And we felt called to lead the young adults ministry and kind of join in with what God was doing in the Seattle area with young adults. We felt a real strong just desire to pour into young adults and to help them in their relationships with the Lord, or help them to discover their identity in Christ. And so we moved back to Washington, and we moved back in 2016. And during this time, I think I didn't really have a whole lot of understanding of spiritual warfare. And when you like say, you know, take a step of faith and you say yes to God and you're, you know, moving somewhere, you're experiencing a lot of change. In my understanding, I just was like, okay, we're doing this and I'm excited about it. And it's a new step for us, and I'm excited to learn ministry. So that autumn, after we moved in the summertime, and during that autumn, I started experiencing, like, suddenly out of nowhere, these panic attacks. And I hadn't been like, I was familiar with just like anxiety and panic attacks to a certain level, but I hadn't experienced that for a few years. And it kind of came out of nowhere. I felt like a lot of shame in it, because I wasn't sure what was happening. And so I just felt like, whoa, there must be something like wrong. Like, why am I suddenly feeling anxious? It was kind of would just come out of nowhere. So I wasn't sure like what was happening or what was the root cause of it. At the same time, I was also experiencing like some health problems as well. And it was like things that I also didn't have an explanation for. And so I'd been visiting some doctors and getting tested for allergies. And I was just like, what is going on? And it was things like eczema and rosacea and digestive problems and like chronic sinus infections. And I was getting sick all the time. Like, what is happening? And so I was trying to figure that out and dealing with that. And so it was just a really hard season for me. And ever since I had met the Lord at 14, I actually had a really like strong awareness of the Holy Spirit's voice, and hadn't had a lot of teaching on the Holy Spirit, but I did know the voice of God, and I would know when He would speak to me. But in that time, this time when we moved back and I was experiencing panic attacks, I was experiencing health things, I actually was really, I was having a hard time hearing the voice of God in my life. And I remember telling Stuart that I was struggling with that. And I was like, well, I'm just going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep praying because I know He's with me, but I can't really hear His voice right now.
I really, as you know, resonate a lot with your story, specifically like the misery of panic and panic attacks and just how intense that is. I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, it just, you just feel like, how can I be I'm just such a terrible Christian or whatever, because how could I have panic attacks in my life? And just kind of I talk about it quite freely, just that anxiety. But how long is this season here? You're talking about moving back, and I'm trying to picture in my mind, is this like weeks, months? Is it like a year? Like how long is this season of anxiety, the health stuff flaring up, the panic? What is that looking like?
Yeah, so we had moved in July, so it was like summertime, and then it was probably like a month later that I started experiencing the anxiety and the panic attacks. I had been experiencing some of the health problems for like 6 months or so, but it was like they ramped up. And so I would say it was well into the autumn, probably November, December. So I'd been experiencing it for a few months.
How frequently are these like panic attacks, or like, is this like a once a month or once every couple months? Are they like more frequently? What is that?
So it was happening about weekly. So wow. It was really tough. And we were leading the young adults ministry, and it was kind of a new ministry that we were starting up. And so we were discipling young adults. We were leading worship nights. We were leading prayer times. We were learning how to teach and doing so many of these new things. And yeah, it was just really hard because I felt like I was trying to do what I knew the Lord was calling us to, and yet I felt really like bound. I felt really like, I don't know if I can do this, because when you have anxiety and when you have panic attacks, you just feel like you're in bondage.
Yeah, and I want to keep going with the story, but maybe I just get too vested in these moments. But do you have any idea like how? You think it's just the move? How did this anxiety and stuff, was it just the newness of all this ministry? Do you have any idea, like kind of looking back, oh, this is how this kind of came in? Or is it just like, well, we'll see where the story goes from here. But like, any thoughts about the origins?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was really rooted in a lot of fear. Some of that did have to do with my family and my past. There's like kind of generational mental illness in my side of the family, and even like generational health things that were happening. And at the time, I didn't realize this, but it wasn't actually after like I experienced deliverance that I was able to hear from the Lord in it, and He started helping me to process through what was happening. And it was like this deep rootedness and fear. And it was interesting because moving back to Washington, it's like, I'm from Washington. And it was suddenly, and I didn't realize that I had kind of, when I moved to university in Indiana, I had almost like put up this like protection from some things I had experienced in my family, my growing up. And so moving back to Washington, I think the enemy just really used that as an opportunity to oppress me. And it was spiritual. And so when I was experiencing these panic attacks and health problems, I didn't realize it was spiritual at the time. I just thought it was like, I think it's just because we've moved, or I think it's just because, like, I don't know, we're in a new place. And the health things, I thought, people get health stuff. Like, I didn't even think about there being a spiritual side to things. I didn't even really know about supernatural healing either. And so it was just by the grace of God, Him so faithfully leading us. Because I remember at that time, I was still spending time with the Lord. And this is kind of a theme in my story of, like, just keep spending time with the Lord. If you don't have like regular Jesus time, you know, cultivate that in your relationship with God and in your days, because it's so important. And I think for me, because I had grown in the character of God, I knew His voice. I knew that He was good, and I knew that He was trustworthy, and I knew that He had all the answers. And so I kept going to Him. And I remember just daily spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word. And at the same time, with Stuart, God introduced us to this amazing church in our area, connected us with some pastors. This church was like just very alive in the Holy Spirit, very alive in the gifts of the Spirit. And we began learning from different pastors from this church, but then also people they told us about that we were watching online. We began kind of learning new things about the Holy Spirit and about the supernatural and about miracles, and just a side to like life in Christ that it's in the Bible. And yet the way that we had been taught growing up, we didn't really know much about it, or we just thought it was all like fake or crazy. So we were in this season of learning. And I think because I was also at a desperate place and just crying out to God, I was more open than I normally would be. And I remember there's one Sunday where we were getting ready for church, and I just suddenly was feeling anxiety and feeling a panic attack coming on, and was like, oh no, like I can't do this. And I remember I dropped Stuart off at church, drove to a park, and was just praying, crying out to God. And I remember Him speaking to me. And this was actually the first time I heard His voice for a few months, because I was in very much a wilderness kind of season of not hearing the voice of God. And so it was very loud to me, like, and it wasn't audible, but it was like very loud in my mind, where I was like, I know this is Jesus talking to me right now. And what He said to me was, don't settle for anything less than what I've made available to you through the cross. And at that time I was just like, what? And I just started ugly crying in my car, just like mostly because of Him just speaking to me and hearing that. I wasn't really sure. I mean, I knew what He said to me, but I didn't know the significance of what that would mean in the rest of my year, and honestly, like the rest of my life. But that was a really powerful moment for me. And that helped me to recognize, like, okay, God is at work. He's speaking to me. And so I kept pursuing Him. And then it was actually like a few months after that. So I'd say it was probably February or March. I'll have to go back to my journals and look. But we had gone to a conference where we heard an evangelist, amazing person, like sharing about the gospel, sharing about supernatural healing. We saw people healed. We came away just really inspired, and we were listening to kind of these teachings. And I remember listening, and we were going through a school. It's called School of Kingdom Living, and kind of would walk through a lot of the New Testament letters. And this pastor was teaching on Romans. And so I was listening to that. And then I kind of had a time where I was spending with the Lord and I wasn't listening to it anymore, but I was like, I want to unpack this. So I went to Romans, and it was specifically Romans 6. And I was reading it and praying through it and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to me through it and reveal what it was talking about. And it was like my eyes were opened to a fuller picture of the gospel. And it was a really cool moment because it was like through his word. And I had read Romans so many times before, but reading it, like it was like I was reading it with fresh eyes. And I was reading about specifically the part where it was talking about that sin and the curse was no longer had dominion over my life. And I was just like, what? Like I knew, like I've known this in certain ways, but I didn't realize that what Jesus accomplished on the cross meant that I could actually be more free. Like I thought that I would have to struggle through life as a Christian. Like I could have this amazing dependency upon God and know him, but I still had to struggle through so many things. And yet it was this picture of the power and the authority of what Jesus accomplished on the cross that my eyes were open to. And so I just received it in that moment. And I repented and I said, God, like, I am sorry that I have not been walking in this. And I like renounce, you know, holding on to certain aspects of the curse and fear and all of that. And I receive this, like I receive the power of that in my life. And I remember like feeling something lift off of me. And it was like a weight that I didn't know that was even there until it lifted off of me. And it was a really powerful moment. And it was just me, like me and God in the bedroom. And I began crying. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you're healed, throw your medication away. And, you know, if you hear the voice of God and you know it's the voice of God, then throw your medication away. If you don't, then don't necessarily do that. But for me, it was like I was so sure that it was the Lord. And because I even had felt that like weight lift off me spiritually, which was a deliverance, like it was like, whoa, I was in bondage and now I'm free from this fear. And the healing that I experienced, it was actually like I went to the bathroom and I remembered grabbing my medication, throwing it away, and it was what I was using for chronic sinus infections, and threw it away. And then within 3 days, I was like completely healed, no more symptoms, like no more skin problems, no more digestive problems. I started trying things. I was like, I'm just going to eat whatever, because I had been on a strict diet. I'm going to try all kinds of things. Nothing had any like bad effect anymore. And I didn't have any sinus problems anymore. It was amazing. So that was a really powerful moment. And I think through that, I began unpacking, okay, what had been happening? Because clearly this was spiritual and there was like a demonic oppression over my life. And as I began unpacking it, I actually realized dreams I had been having that the Lord was trying to speak to me through, and fear that was rooted in like my family and my past and my history and things that I had taken on, realizing, oh, I think I'm just going to carry this on from my family, and I'm not able to be free from that. But then to experience that deliverance and that healing, it was like my eyes were open to the real power of the gospel and the freedom that can come through the gospel.
So you had a repentance moment. Mm-hmm. Now I've heard several stories where healing, deliverance starts with a repentance experience and moment. But then there's a gap of time. Is that right? A gap of time. Mm-hmm. How long a gap of time before you're kind of you feel the deliverance happen and you feel free? Like, is that like same day, or is that?
Yeah, it was like probably a few hours. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So again, catalyzed by, repentance. Sometimes we like to skip to heal me, mm-hmm. and where the real start is. Okay, God, I'm on your page, and oh, Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. I mean, I'm sorry for the darkness of the story in that time, but oh, I just love the healing and deliverance. Just God's mercy, God's goodness, God's kindness, God just kind of overriding and leading you through that process. Because you had to come through a theological shift and then to get to the point where you were finding your healing and understanding just that Jesus does that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a complete shift. It was like, oh my goodness, there's more to the gospel, and it's been here all along in the Bible. And I love the word of God, and to see that and to recognize, like, wow, what Jesus accomplished on the cross, actually there's so much more power to that and authority to that and freedom in that. And coming away from that, it changed the way I ministered to people. It changed the way that I like shared the gospel with people or shared about who God is and the Bible, and realizing like the real freedom that can come through Christ. And that it's, you know, our journeys are all, they all look so different. But to know that the gospel, it's not just salvation for the future, but that salvation includes like real freedom today. And I think for me, because I didn't have the teaching, and I'm so thankful that God like led us to pastors and teachers who did teach that fuller picture, and through that, like, I experienced that healing and that deliverance. But to know that, yeah, there's more in Christ, and that's really, really real. And it definitely increased my passion for prayer, for teaching others, for praying for others. And yeah, I'm really thankful that the Lord took me on that journey and led me and Stuart to those pastors.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't know if you have the answer, but it's something I think about a lot too, because we have a very similar background, mm-hmm. where we love the Bible, anchored in it, weren't as aware of all that was possible in Jesus. And now we see people who are suffering and on a journey. If what would you say to somebody who just doesn't perceive or believe that they could be helped in their health problems or whatever? They're a Christian out there. They love Jesus. They love God's word. But really, for them, I mean, this is stuff that they've been living with for all their lives or for years and years. It just seems normal. It just seems like it's just going to be their life forever. What might you say to someone to just kind of maybe try and nudge them on a journey, or which way would you nudge them? Do you have any thoughts about this? Because it's such a tricky thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's not a formula, right? It's Jesus. And that's what I love about the gospel, is that it's not a formula, it's Jesus. And I'm so thankful that we have a church where you can go for prayer and you can have people pray for you. Like for me, it was just me and God in the bedroom, and God uses that. And that's what I encourage people, is like, receive from God. Like you can meet with God and like cultivate your alone times with God and really like ask him to do things in your heart. Cause for me, it was like, I knew that I could ask him for things, and I didn't feel like a hesitation in that. And anytime that I was struggling in an area and I didn't know what was going on, I knew he knew what was going on. And so I'd always ask him. And so just cultivating those secret place times, Jesus times, alone times, whatever you want to call it, is so amazing. And God can meet you in that. But I'm also so thankful that we have a church where people can pray with you and pray over you and have faith over you as well for freedom. And I think for those who feel like the weight of, you know, bondage, whether that's, you know, there's a health thing or there's a mental illness thing, or you're not sure if it's like demonic or not, like to know that there is freedom and that freedom is possible through the cross and through what Jesus accomplished. And so to not be afraid of asking for prayer and not be afraid of like going to God yourself, but then also asking for prayer for deliverance. Because like, what do you have to lose, right? Like you could experience amazing supernatural healing. You could experience deliverance. And I think for me, like, I just didn't know. And so because of that, the enemy, the lies that he deceived me into to kind of taking on, I was in bondage because I didn't know. And it wasn't until actually from other pastors and their teaching that I realized, wait, this is even an option? Like, I didn't realize that. And that's where, yeah, the coming to Jesus and repenting. And I think repentance is so important because it's not just a, oh, I was so off and, you know, this is all my fault, because it was like a lot of it was ignorance. It's more of a, no, repentance is, no, that is not what I want. And this is what I want. And I'm going to turn away from what was darkness and turn to Jesus. But yeah, there's so much hope. There's so much freedom. There's nothing that Jesus didn't take on the cross. And that's what's amazing.
Amazing. So you have that moment. And then how did things flow from there?
Yeah. So for me, that was a big boost moment. And both Stuart and I from that time really had this spiritual boost kind of forward. And really that whole next year, I was kind of unpacking what had happened with the Lord. We were just learning and learning. I think for me, the word of God came alive in new ways. I was really excited to spend time reading the Bible because I loved the fuller picture of the gospel, and I loved the more of the here reality, like the here or the now and not yet, but the now, and starting to grow in that. So that was a big boost forward, and I just loved spending time with the Lord. And I remember just having a really high capacity to learn and to spend time with the Lord. And it changed the way that I ministered. And so I think, yeah, it was probably about a year later. I just had this, like, I think it was because of all that we were learning. I just had this desire for more. And it was almost like because I had experienced this deliverance and this healing and this new revelation, I just knew there was more in the Lord. And I had been learning more about the Holy Spirit. I had grown up, you know, understanding that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. He is God, but I just didn't have a whole lot of teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit and didn't have a lot of teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. I just, you know, thought that the ones that were operating today were more of like service and administration and hospitality. And those are amazing. But I didn't know that I was like had prophetic gifting at that time. And I didn't know that, you know, there was other gifts of the Spirit that could be really fruitful in our lives. And so I just kind of felt this desire to ask God for more. And it was a more for myself, but also because I knew that God had a calling on our life, and I was starting to feel really passionate about the next generation. And I saw a lot of young adults leaving the church in the Seattle area, and I just knew that there was more. And I was just asking God, Lord, if there's something that you want to do in me that can help us to then minister to these young adults and to lead them and teach them and grow them, then do that. And so we had just been leading kind of faithfully, trying new things, doing prayer worship times. And my birthday was coming up. So this is 2017 now. Yeah, 2016 and 2017 now. And my birthday was coming up. Stuart had got me tickets to a Carrie Job concert. I was excited to go. And I had been praying specifically about the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then also praying about the gift of tongues. And it was something that I was very much like not really talking to people about. It was just something that in my time with the Lord, it was like, you know, I would think I would really enjoy this, and I'd have no idea what this is like. And I actually didn't look up any YouTube videos because I didn't want to be scared away. And I was just praying about this. And Stuart got me these tickets. We went to a Carrie Job concert. And I think that their team must have been praying for Holy Spirit encounters, because I went just to enjoy a normal concert, a worship concert. And yet during the worship time, it was like I just had this moment with God, and I was worshiping, but then I was suddenly like praying. And then I heard the Lord say to me, you know, you've been asking me about the Holy Spirit, and you've been asking me about the gift of tongues. And I was like, yeah. And then I heard him say to me, it's by faith, like you got to receive by faith. And so I had this moment with the Lord. Everyone's worshiping, no one, like, it's super loud. And I suddenly was like, oh, it's by faith. And so I kind of just like opened my mouth and started like praying in the Spirit. And for me, it was like very much it felt like a river, and it felt kind of like a flow from God. It was a sensation that I had never felt with the Spirit before. And it was very much a like manifestation moment of the Spirit. Felt the tingles, felt the warmth, felt filled. And it was really an amazing moment to have with the Holy Spirit. And and that did activate this like prayer language in my relationship with God. And it's something that I do regularly alone with the Lord or on walks. And it's great. Like, obviously this is not a podcast on praying in tongues, but it's definitely a gift of the Spirit that I so appreciate now, because it is from Him. And praying in the Spirit is activated a whole nother side of intercession and intimacy with the Lord and my prayer walk times. Yeah, I it was like this confirmation of this is the more, and there the Holy Spirit actually has a bigger role in your life and your ministry than you realized before. And from that point, it was like the Holy Spirit really did become my helper, and He really did become an active part of my relationship with God and the way that we led people. And it was another big boost forward that's really carried me through every season since. It's carried me as we took a big step of faith to move, you know, to Scotland and to leave everything behind and to move cross culturally. It's carried me through seasons of like, you know, COVID and 2020, and just being able to know that like I am filled by the Holy Spirit, like the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God is in me. And that is such a good thing, because it's God and it's His power.
I'm just so enjoying the story of how God's teaching you, mm-hmm. you know, coming from not that background, and you know, having some pastors speaking in, but also there's just such a God guiding you on this journey and kind of just instructing you at different moments. It's great. It's like you poised yourself and your life. Like I abide with Jesus. I have my Jesus times. I read and then He at the right moment He guides you, and He just kind of gives you specific directions mm-hmm. and answers to your prayers and even just the desires of your heart. Whether it's it's so good, so good. I love that. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I think I just encourage anyone that's listening to know that, you know, you, despite if you have people who are discipling you, or if you feel like you're in a church community where you're able to really learn and grow, like you have God with you. And the theme kind of throughout my story and what I'm really passionate about is teaching people to commune with God and teaching people a lifestyle of coming to God with an open heart and seeking Him for the sake of Him. In my journey, it was like, despite not having the circumstances lined up, despite not having necessarily the teaching, and it's like, God can still work with that. And when you ask Him and when you open your heart to Him, He will lead you to the right things and He will lead you to the right people. You could be like, for us, it was a lot of, you know, online teachers, or it was, you know, this church that we didn't know anything about, or it was my alone times with God. And I just so love the kindness of the Lord, and I love his grace and his faithfulness to respond to us, because he wants to reveal himself to us. And that's been so clear in my story, and I've been able to encourage others in that. And I love leading, especially young people, I love leading them in that, to know you have access to God, like you have access to Jesus, and you can talk to him, and you can get to know him, and you can ask him for things, and he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to do really powerful things in your life, and it's okay to ask for more. I think that's a big one.
Amanda, that's amazing. I just love this. I know that there's people out there who are just thinking to myself, okay, do I dare ask God for this, or do I really dare pursue this with Jesus? And I hope that they do. I hope that they hear your story. I hope they hear your encouragement, and they ask Jesus, and they take some steps in that direction. That's just so great to hear testimonies and stories flowing out of that. Friends, I find this helpful. If you find this helpful, let people know about it. If you can think of people that could benefit from this, or you know what's going on in their lives, maybe send them a link to this, or rate and review online. Help us get the word out. I'm really excited about all that's been going on and all the stories that we're hearing of major life moments in people's journeys with Jesus. As you know, my heart is to see our whole generation reawakened to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. Some people can fumble through this path alone, but everyone does better with help.